Bandwidth and hosting for the British Tech Network is provided by UK2.net. Innovative, affordable, and reliable web hosting. Hello, welcome to the Mac Show from the British Tech Network. I'm Ewan Rankin, and we're here to discuss the week's Macintosh news, such as it is, not much. But we'll have a little bit of fun along the way, I hope. There's a few other things around the periphery that might fit. Wait for my cool thing. Joining me, I've got a fantastic panel. Five of the buggers. Here's me walking around the streets, and I found five of them all at once. Top left, Mr. Gazmaz. How you doing, mate?
I'm doing very well, thank you, Ewan. Busy week, and I'm really, really looking forward to your cool thing, because the build-up is tremendous.
You know, well, okay, we'll see what you like after I've given it. The now, your video tip went down an absolute storm, mate.
Excellent.
I think we got a couple of emails from people saying how much they enjoyed it, and wow, what a tip from Gazmaz. They never even realised he did it. And TechSmith... who were the people that kindly gave us the copies of Camtasia to give away, and we're going to give another one away today. They were over the moon, mate. I mean, they just thought you were excellent. So keep them coming, pal.
I will try. I will try.
Jolly good job. Next to him, from Boston, Massachusetts, with the garden in the background, Mr. Anatko. How's it going, pal?
Moderately neato.
What's been happening in the last month?
In the last month, I've spent a week in Dublin, was introduced to the concept of Guinness there, have spoken for an entire week on 10 different subjects, four of which I knew something about. That was at the University of Colorado. And then the last, the fill-in time was basically spent desperately trying to catch up on all the work I didn't do while I was out of my office. So,
Interstellar space was one of them. We did talk about that.
Exactly.
I mean, if I'd have known you were in Dublin, dude, I'd have flown over. It's only an hour from my airport.
I keep forgetting that, like, you guys live in a place where countries are, like, really close to each other.
Yeah.
Well, I know that, like, if you go far enough north, like, Canada is, like, really close to the United States. But for us, like, leaving the country and going to another country is a really, really big deal. And for someone to say, hey, I didn't know you were going to be in Canada, I would have flown up. Like, oh, my God, you were in Mexico City and you did not call me for lunch. Oh, my God.
Well, the American does have a bit of a problem with size. I remember playing golf in Houston at a golf course called the Houstonian, and it was 70 miles away from where I was staying in Houston. Now, if I go 70 miles, I've gone through three metropolis to get to where I'm going from here. You know, it's so.
Well, that's why you should try the New England. We're all like valleys and hills, and it's like it's too much trouble to like go over that hill or go through that forest. So we just sort of clump all the villages together. And we're all separated by maybe 2 miles, and we all hit the people on the other side of the hill. In Texas and Oklahoma and, like, in the West there, it's just, like, nothing but flat. You don't stop when you reach a hill when you're founding a settlement. You stop because you got tired or because your ox broke a leg, and you decided to eat it right then and there. And said, you know what? This is good. We're aiming for San Francisco, but you know what? We'll call this Austin and call it done.
Yeah. You got to watch out for the people that break their ox's legs, though, deliberately. Those are the ones you mustn't trust.
Yeah, especially if they break the ox's legs before, you know, some people, very good tender meat. It's like sort of a crispy, porky sort of flavor. If there's someone who is really causing trouble in my wagon train, I'd probably go for that instead of the ox.
Is there a coefficient of weight of wagon to ox tenderness?
If there is no Wikipedia page on that, I intend to create one. Yes. 1 hour after the show is over.
Good man. Beneath Andrew, we have Mr. Forsman. How you doing, sir?
Ooh, I'm doing.
Excited by the week's Mac news?
I think there's plenty to go around, yeah.
Yeah, I don't think so.
You always seem down on the news. I always seem up on the news. I don't know. Maybe because you're British? I don't know.
Feel free to start us off. Now then, I've got a question for you, mate. Have you got the live feed running?
I did. But I turned it off because it was making everything slow down.
Like the thing crazy. Is, I went out for a beer with UK2 and with Carl Madden the other week. And we sat down and I met your doppelganger.
Really?
I met your doppelganger. And I'm not kidding, as in I kind of met someone who vaguely looked like you. This is like the mirror image of you. Plain and simple. And he's a guy named Matt. And Matt serves at the sports bar in Paddington Station. and it is you. I'm telling you.
Do you have a picture up?
Yeah, he's up. You need to just flick the live feed on immediately. I met your doppelganger. I showed him a picture of you and he went, holy, and I can't say the word because I'll have to bleep it. And well, the chat room's saying it for me. Holy crap, there's two of them. Separated at birth.
Maybe.
What does everyone else think?
So what you're saying here is that...
I think my glasses are cooler. Oh, shut up. My teeth are not as good. So
he's not showing his teeth. So, Mr. Anatka, what would you got to say on this?
I was just going to say, it just concerns me that it's almost like you're saying that if you get any trouble from him, you know, and need to replace him invisibly, including like all of his wealth and all of his prestige, it can be now arranged. Because not only did you simply, it's one thing to simply like be walking through a subway station and say, oh, that guy looks like that guy I know. It's another thing to make sure you get his contact information and a reference picture.
You're taking it too far.
I would be a little bit concerned. That's all.
I can now officially off Forsman for pissing me off and replace him with Matt.
How are you going to off me?
Well, I've got enough stock footage of your voice, mate.
On the Abbey Road cover.
No, but if you ever want to, if you're ever in London, Chris, you need to go to the sports bar at Paddington Station, and Matt will be there, and Matt will do a double take.
Or you can say, hi, I'm Matt, the guy, the boss of this place told me to take this keg of beer out and along with the day's receipts. You can trust me, I'm Matt, whom you all know.
Yeah.
You could go around to the till, exactly. All you got to do is wear something white with black on the bottom.
I was just thinking, maybe if we kiss each other, it'll create the singularity.
No tongues.
Oh, yeah, tongues is a black
tongue
hole.
Tongue optional.
The Higgs boson.
Church
Higgs,
tongue, not porn tongue.
The Higgs boson particle will pass between you.
Right. Found it.
Stuff your Hadron Collider. I just need to kiss Matt.
None of you have obviously read enough Star Trek science fiction about what happens when the person from one universe accidentally touches the person from the other universe, have you?
Well, what actually happens then, DHM?
Well, there's a massive explosion and the whole universe is ripped apart and things, apparently, isn't it? That's what Star Trek told me.
What you're saying is Chris and Matt must never meet.
No, never.
You can still cyber sex, though.
Oh, God.
Google Hangout, it's just like you and him and just whatever happens, happens. Nothing that you don't want to happen is going to happen.
Are you talking Teletubbies or Matt?
It's just two consenting singularities.
Nothing that doesn't feel completely natural, Matt.
We're singularities unto ourselves, really, when you think about it.
Oh, man, is there a condom for that? Next to him, and really wishing he'd not come on the show at all, Andy Lee.
I'm like, yeah, this is degenerating even worse than usual.
What?
That'll teach you for not saying anything most weeks, Lee.
Not possible.
How you been, dude?
I've been good, yeah. Well, it's supposed to be a quiet week. It's turned out to be a very busy week. So, yeah.
Excellent. It's a good week. Is that saying you haven't written the application yet, then?
I have done quite a bit of work on it, yeah. But I didn't have quite as much time as I thought I was going to have. But, yeah, no. I'm cracking on, building up the bits.
Watch this space. There's an application coming.
Definitely is. With a special secret bit.
And last but by no means least, Mr. Star Trek himself, Dr. Happy Mac.
Hello.
Talking us through everything that is quantum physics and beyond, and cosmic radiation.
Speciality.
How you doing, pal?
Oh, good. Yes. Yeah. I'm looking forward to talking some good, hard, solid facts with everyone. Apart from the.
I don't know where he was going with that.
Now, when you built,
it's starting to get slightly hacked off with the amount of rumours going through everyone's Twitter feed. It's like it's just bonkers.
What rumours?
Confirmed iPhone 4-inch screen. Confirmed 5-inch screen. Confirmed 7-inch screen. Confirmed.
Now, dude, when you built that office, it was glorious and spacious and tidy, and it looks like a crap heap now.
Sorry, you're blacking out.
Yeah, I'm surprised I am. You've got. I mean, don't blame it on the curry curtains either, pal. You've got a lot of crap in that office. Needs tidying.
Can you see it from there?
It's dominating, mate.
Yeah, it does actually need a bit of a tidy up, doesn't it?
Yeah, Steve Jobs is looking at the offsetting of his iMac against that detritus and turning in his grave.
Yeah, there's another one over there.
Exactly. Mm. Right.
There's one down on the floor as well somewhere, if you can see that one. There it
Thank
is.
You for joining us. We'll be discussing the next Mac show next week. What's the Mac news then? There's not a lot really, is there? There was a good article today from Erica Seiden on I probably said that wrong, Nanny Computing being the future of OS X. And this is to do with the sandboxing stuff as well as that's coming into force at the moment. Now, I've got to say, I'm a self-confessed non-geek. Can someone explain sandboxing to me and the significance of it? Because I only saw it as hotkeys, I have to admit, which is probably not really covering it properly. So educate me, please.
Well, the basic concept of the sandbox is that it's very similar to how it works on iOS. Applications are given basically a protected memory space, and they work within that space. When they want to interact with certain parts of the system or other applications, they have to request certain permissions, and those permissions are only available from a list that Apple supplied. And so there is some a little bit of confusion as to exactly how much this might limit applications that rely on hotkeys, because there is an Apple supplied API use certain keyboard. Hello.
This one, carry on.
But there's this Apple supplied API to use hotkeys in certain situations, and I think that someone. I was reading a developer talking about this who pointed out that it might have to do with applications that sort of rely on kind of hacks that use accessibility APIs to do like cross app scripting and some other features like that. So, I think what the limit is, and I think what it is sort of a signaling to, and I think Sadoon hits this nail on the head. It's a signal that, you know, the Mac App Store and people who rely on it, it is sort of going to be like you're going to have this iOS like experience. You go to the Mac App Store, that's where you get your apps. They've already been vetted by Apple. Apps can't do that much interaction, and that will limit. Basically, when the apps can't interact, there's no possibility of there being like security flaws.
Is this significant, though? I mean, there's certain applications in the Mac App Store. I'm thinking of things like Alfred App, which uses Command Space or Alt Space to trigger things. Or if you're talking about application switching, so you're working in one application, you get a phone call and you go, oh, I want to swap to the other, and then doing your Tab Space to go to the other application. Is any of that going to be affected, or is this purely to do with switching within the apps?
I think what it's talking about is when you can trigger an app that's running in the background with a hotkey.
Right.
Yeah.
So there is an API that allows that to still work. And I think that some apps rely on that method. There are apps that rely on other methods that could run into trouble with this sandboxing thing. But the general idea is that, you know, the apps run in their sandbox and they can't get out of the sandbox except through only approved methods, yeah, supplied by Apple. And so I don't think that the concern is so much apps that use hotkeys. It's that this is another sign that Apple's moving to more of, you know, a lockdown system. But I still think that there are signs that Apple's not doing it to lock everyone out. And I think the way a gatekeeper works is a perfect example. You can choose to go in and click a button and say this computer is only going to run apps from the App Store, and that's your choice, and you can do that. By default, it will allow apps from the App Store and also apps that have been signed by developers that have gotten a special ID from Apple. You know, so they've registered with Apple. It's like an extra layer. It's not guarantee of security, but it's an extra layer that it's probably secure. Or you can click a button and say, I'll install anything and do whatever I want with my system. So what I think is that Apple's moving to sort of a default where, you know, everything is locked down in the interest of simplicity and security for the majority of users, whereas, you know, power users can go in, you know, just as we've always been able to do. I mean, go in and even in the terminal insert, you know, special commands and do all kinds of things that maybe more experienced or power users are accustomed to. And I think that some people are just concerned that that's going to go away entirely. I hesitate to say that's going to be the case.
What's the implication? Sorry, go ahead, Andy.
They're not taking away the ability for hotkeys as like the command keys and doing things within an app or at the OS level. It's basically the mechanism that they use to allow these apps to listen out for the hotkeys. Theoretically enables them to listen out for anything at the keyboard. It has to be listening for that event, and therefore it's potentially a risk that it could be act like a keylogger in effect, because it's getting all this content from the keyboard in case there's this event that it needs.
Do we see this as I'm particularly thinking here whether we see this as being something that's a necessity for security, or whether it's actually a hobbling move that's a bit draconian and a bit beyond what's required?
I think it's a semi-side effect of the security model they've chosen. If your app's sandboxed, it essentially can't do anything with any other apps. Well,
that's hobbling then.
To some degree. I mean, we don't know the full details of how the sandboxing is going to work and some sort of inter-process communication. I mean, Unix fundamentally is built on app after app after app talking to each other through a series of pipes, literally.
Let's not do a series of pipes analogy, for Christ's sake.
No, I meant Unix piping.
Which is different from internet piping.
It is different, yeah. As far as I understand it, the sandboxing is you can't do anything with any other app. You can interact with the operating system, but there's no mechanism to interact from one app to another. So the apps that you run that give you this extended functionality with the hotkeys, there's no way for them to interact directly with another app to trigger the app. So it seems to be a sort of side effect.
Yeah.
Of how they've chosen to implement the sandbox.
Andy, you were about to jump in there just before.
Yeah, just that there are a bunch of different problems with Apple sandboxing. Now, the obvious benefit to the user is that it tries to make things more secure. Every time you hear about on any operating system about how there's an exploit, there's an exploit that involves a browser, oftentimes it's because a bit of code that's exposed to the browser that can then insert itself into the operating system. With sandboxing, it's really not incredibly difficult for something like that to happen, because every piece of software is walled off from every other piece of software. So it's protected from attacks from other code that's running. It also limits what it can do interacting with other pieces of code, other applications that are on the system. So on that basis, it's a really good thing. But it's a really bad thing because imagine that you've made a rule saying you can't have a green carpet anywhere that's more than 40 square feet in any one room. And let's assume that there's a good reason for your town to make that rule. That's when you suddenly realize that, yeah, we're a pool hall and we've had this rug on our carpet for about 80 years. We don't want to pull it up just because you think that's a good idea. And then you have this other guy who says, well, for us, it's not even a case of style. We are a motion capture stage. We are a green screen video production. We have to have green on the floor, so we can't comply with this. So that's the reason why when Apple sort of made this sort of pronouncement a year ago saying that, by November of 2011, we will no longer approve any apps in the App Store that do not comply with our new sandboxing rules. There are too many developers who said, yeah, we can't build Mac apps under the rules that you've set for us. Now, there are two ways that a developer can get around sandboxing. And by get around, I mean comply with all of Apple's rules while still hopefully being able to do what they want to do. One of them is to use some APIs that hopefully give those apps the sort of functionality that they would want, kind of similarly to how on iOS you can't create an app that stays active in the background permanently. What you can do is ask the operating system to say, hi, I've got this process that needs to complete. It's a download. Could you please let me continue to run in the background until that terminates? In which case, yes, please, by all means, terminate my process. The other thing that you can do as a developer is that you can petition Apple and make a case saying, I really need an exception for this thing that my app needs to do. And under certain circumstances, they will grant that exception. But it really does demonstrate exactly what a problem Apple has created for developers by the fact that they've extended that new absolute drop deadline now twice. The developers still have some work to do, and Apple still has some work to do figuring out how to make sandboxing work so it doesn't screw everybody. I mean, I have been talking to a bunch of developers that oftentimes the problem is just that you'll have a legacy app that's been out for if you're just getting into Mac development today. This is absolutely not a problem for you because you're writing every scrap of code so that it complies with every regulation and every rule that Apple has. If you have a piece of software that's 5 or 10 years old, you weren't writing the software to be abusive of the operating system. You just found the best solution to a problem that you're having or the best way to integrate a feature. Or you saw an ability to say, well, geez, if we can access the scheduler of this other app, we can automate about 4 different things that ordinarily the user would have to configure by hand. And now Apple's telling you, yeah, that feature that you've built your entire app off of for the past 5 years, we're not going to let you do that anymore. So now it puts these people in a position of either totally rewriting this app that they've been building for 5 years, and they may not be willing to do that only because you know how businesses run. You know how like people judge their time and the investment of their work staff. They might be saying that this is a product. This 10-year-old product is making lots of money for us on the basis that it's good, proven, stable code, and we just have to add new features to it every year or two. If they're saying no, you have to get rid of every scrap of code you have, rebuild it from the ground up, they might suddenly say that, well, I mean, we can't afford $80,000 to build an entire new version of this app. It's just not making that much money after 5 years. So we're just going to make this a 10.6, 10.7 only app. So it's a complicated issue. Hopefully it'll all work out well in the long run, but there's a lot of growing pains with getting sandboxing working.
Ian in the chat room is saying, true, but Text Expander Touch can't work with any iOS app system. It's only ones that use the API. Text Expander or Hazel would have to live outside the App Store in order to compete. And the thought process there is this stifling development then? Because people are going to look at this and go, well, if I've got to exist in this environment and this environment doesn't let me to do the things that I want to do, then the alternative is to go outside that environment. I go outside the environment. It's like being thrown out of the city in Priest or something like that. I'm no longer Blade Runner. I'm no longer part of the collective. Therefore, I freeze to death.
Ewan, do we know how hard in stone this actually is? Because I'm hearing a lot of people saying that Apple are putting stuff out there to try and find out the reaction and to see if there's any processes which they're missing, and perhaps developers are putting information that it can be worked in a different way. In a different way, and whether they're putting these little snippets out there to gain reaction from developers as well, because they're finding out as they go along the impact of having a walled garden.
Well, if they're doing it that way, they're doing it in a very Apple way, which is to say, nope, this is the rule. You have to do it. We're not going to listen to you. And then when there are enough pitchforks and torches in the crowds, suddenly rolling that back. There are ways that Apple has of communicating with developers before they make one of these rules, both formal and informal, to get that sort of feedback. So if their goal really was to simply say, we intend to do sandboxing, we have not figured out how we're going to do it yet, but now is a good time for you guys to start telling us what will work and what will not work for you. They didn't do any of that. And so that's why it's a very nervous time to be a developer.
Yep.
The chat room has just gone into something I have absolutely no concept of. One of them's correcting me on the fact that I should have used Judge Dredd's Cursed Earth concept, which is fair enough. That's my mistake. I do apologise. Russ has gone off on one. Is it like David Marcus using protomatter in the genius device in Star Trek 2 and it was the only way to solve a certain problem?
I think that was Genesis device, actually.
Device. Genius device. There you go. There's even the Apple thing. You see? There we go. Genesis device. And also then Starfleet and the Federation almost didn't, only under very specific conditions. So Apple are the Federation then, says Tone. I have no idea.
Okay, well, I do get the Genesis torpedo analogy, so I will admit to that one. I'm not sure that it. Remember that the reason why Marcus used unstable matter in the Genesis device was because to speed along a process that he was not willing to take the time to do. It was a known shortcut, whereas with Apple's sandboxing is what they feel to believe the actual result that they want to get. I was going to actually use the analogy from the Woody Allen movie Bananas, where the rebel in the Central American Banana Republic suddenly wins power for all the peasants and then suddenly goes crazy and makes the rule that from now on, everyone must change their underwears 10 times a day. All underwears must be worn on the outside so that we can check. I mean, it's a rule, and then suddenly says, yeah, we were with you with the revolution, get out the dictator thing. We're not with you here, and that's why we're not going to do that. And you can now either decide to either roll back that rule, maybe roll back to maybe two changes of underwear per day, which may be something we can accommodate, or we're just not going to be able to do business with you.
Jake's in the chat room has said, does this mean that Phil Collins is going to be the new CEO of Apple?
Okay, I'm braced. This is going to be really great. Whoever you are in the chat room, I'm looking forward to the rest of this. I'm sure that the rest of this analogy or joke is going to pay off huge.
Maybe that's the coming in the air tonight thing.
Susu
MacBook Air. MacBook Air. Coming in the MacBook Air tonight. See, there we go. They're also saying, surely you can't be serious.
Oh, wow. Andy Zaltzman is a listener. Hi, Andy.
Maybe OS X would be like Spock after the Genesis device went off and it would rise again from the ashes. Yes, but that was a dangerous shortcut. Remember the planet explode. Oh, gee, we've lit the blue touch paper here, fellas.
I can't believe the current Marvel mega event involves the return of the Phoenix Force that set the Avengers against the X-Men, and you had to dip that deep into the catalog to get a Phoenix reference. Oh, I'm disappointed, you nerds.
What? I don't get the Judge Dredd reference, and I'm a bit of a Judge Dredd expert, and I don't get it.
Well, they're saying that the Judge Dredd reference is the fact that when I was talking about everything outside the wall city, I watched Priest the other day with Bettany, and I get the idea, because that's all about everything outside the city walls is uncontrollable, yeah. And they're saying that Judge Dredd had outside the city of Judge Dredd there was a cursed earth, and I'm not a Judge Dredd expert, so. Do you get it now, Andy, or not?
No, yeah, I get it. I was going for a deeper, more something in the cursed earth, but yes, I get that now.
Okay. And oh, man. Well, there you go. No Apple news at all this week.
How long exactly did that spot take?
Good long while.
It was a good conversation to start with. Thank you for starting off sensibly, Chris and Andy, but thank you, chat room, for finishing that one. Badum-tish. Apple has filed a patent for a wireless steering wheel device. I got to say, I saw this and I thought it was kind of like Marge and Marge Simpson and the baby, but it's not. It's a remote control for your iPhone.
Oh. I thought of the car, you know, purely on the number of times that my Mac says connected, not connected, connected, not connected on my wireless mouse, I'm going to pass on that for my car.
No, actually, I think this is a long time coming as like a desktop computing device, because there's so many times when a system crashes so bad, you would have hoped that an airbag would have deployed in your face just to complete like the analogy. So now the next time Word like suddenly loses like about 2 days worth of work, airbag will deploy. You'll have a nice cozy pillow that you can just rest your head in, and just a room full of noxious fumes that will help you go away from the pain and just go to this other place. And then by the time you come back again, you've got Jiffy Pop.
Oh, man. So, this device is not inspirational then.
Stop looking at patents, people.
It should have been a long time ago.
That is not inspirational, because I've got a device which looks very similar to that on my Toyota, and it's touch sensitive as well.
Well, this is like the Pebble thing, isn't it, that Samsung have just done as well. It seems like a hurriedly generated response so that they can sue Samsung in a couple of years.
Or Toyota,
yeah. Never mind. Aaron Sorkin is making the latest Steve Jobs biopic. There's a flurry of them coming out. He's got the one with, I think he's the one with Ashton Kutcher. Do you really want another movie on Steve Jobs?
He's not writing the movie with Ashton Kutcher.
Oh, he's writing it's a different one. Oh, yeah. Man, there's so many. I'm confused.
I'm just saying Pirates of Silicon Valley is all you really need to watch.
Exactly. My point exactly. I've seen the one. Noah Wiley is Steve Jobs. He is Steve Jobs' love child. There's no question about it. He is.
Nailed it.
He is. Yeah, exactly. He looks exactly like him. He acts like him. And
not only that, I don't you love those movies in which you have to like Lost in Translation, where they need Bill Murray's character. Like, they need footage of him from 30 years ago, the director can just say, oh, well, he was an actor working 70 years ago. We can just get footage of him and use that as our footage. So if they can just buy the rights to... you're absolutely right about Noah Wiley. A, good actor. B, already understands the character. C, looks like Steve Jobs. But they already have footage of him, 15 years younger, dressed like Steve Jobs, made up like Steve Jobs, and acting like Steve Jobs. They can buy that footage and use that in the movie. It'll be like Benjamin Button, only with iPods.
Benjamin Button. I like that one. I just don't want another Steve Jobs movie. Pirates of Silicon Valley is good enough. You really do. You're going to pay good money. You're talking $15 a piece to go to the cinema to watch the same old tut being revived.
No, he's going to stream it.
It's streaming only. It's going to be on Netflix. They don't do straight to video anymore. They do straight to Netflix.
Straight to Netflix. That's right. Actually, Magnolia Pictures is releasing that hour plus footage that Bob Kringley recorded for the what was that series? Revenge of the Nerds, or do you remember, Andy?
I don't remember, but I know what you're talking about. As a matter of fact,
it was in 1995, while before Jobs came back to Apple, and he did all this footage, and they have he found the tape, so he has the raw footage, and Magnolia Pictures is releasing it in theaters, and they're gonna do a video on demand later this year, so I'll be definitely streaming that on Netflix.
They're talking about retina displays for IMAX this week. Retina displays that go up to 5,280 by 1880 or 2880 resolution. Why is that really going to happen? 27 inch IMAX at 5,000 pixels across.
It's so you can get really close to the iMac and it'll be all encompassing then.
I don't think it's going to top 4K resolution if it happens at all. But, a developer from AppCubby made a really good argument that the resolution doesn't need to be nearly as high as people think it does to pull off a 27-inch Retina iMac. All they need to do is find a resolution that works well when you go into the settings and they're the high DPI 2X settings. That's all they need is something that works well for that resolution. So, I mean, it doesn't need to be nearly that high. And I'm not even sure that, some of the, unless you have the top end video cards, you can even drive that much resolution in a realistic way.
Exactly.
But I don't see it topping 4K resolution at a maximum, but I wouldn't be surprised if it's less. Yeah. But still look great.
Yeah, just listen to your CPUs hum when you're trying to drive those screens.
Yeah, they complain about fan noise at the moment on the air quite a lot. That's going to be takeoff speed.
And I mean, it makes such innate sense when you have an iPhone where you want to make it readable at this tiny, tiny screen. It also makes sense on the iPad, which is something you're still going to be holding and reading from 10 inches away. I just don't see how you're going to get that same kind of wow factor off of an IMAX screen that's 18 to 24 inches away from your eyes. And then, I mean, I think mostly I'm thinking I would be looking at this. I would be enjoying that the fact that if I lean in really, really closely, I can see how detailed the letters in the menu bar are. But then I'd be thinking, oh man, I spent $2,100 for this iMac.
Yeah.
How much less money would it have cost if they had just put a normal display in that's perfectly good for everything?
Well, I've got, I mean, right here in front of me, I mean, I'm touching the front of the screen now, by the way. Right in front of me, I have got a 2.5 feet, a 30-inch monitor. I can barely read the text without my glasses on. So why the hell I need a resolution display on there? I'm not entirely sure.
That's going to be the ad campaign. It's like, hey, man, hey, old man, this isn't your iMac. It's for the young generation.
Precisely. That's just what I was going to say.
Also, the speakers are wider range for all the decibels of hearing that you burned off in your generation.
You also don't have the issue.
Unfortunately, Ewan, you're not the future.
Oh, they tell me about it. I get up in the morning, my knees say, you're not the future.
You also don't have the issue with an iMac that you have on an iPhone, an iPad, of doubling the content area for the app. As you, on a big screen Mac, you don't necessarily have it actual size full screen.
Hmm.
Yeah, and resolution independence has been something that Apple's been working on for macOS for a few years. So if they were to do it, it wouldn't necessarily mean you'd have these tiny, tiny pixels and a tiny, tiny menu bar to deal with. The idea would be that you'd have the same proportions and the same size icons and buttons and stuff. They just look really, really much, much better if you were to lean in way, way much closer than your mom ever taught you to lean in.
I just wonder whether Nikon and Canon have got a stake in Apple and they're trying to sell higher pixel cameras.
You're right.
Yeah, leaning in closer than your mom ever said. You're doing something else that requires you to lean in close to have a look. Jimmy the Geek in the chat room says... She doesn't cover that subject in the growing up stages, no. Jimmy the Geek says, my iMac is 2560 by 1400 now, but maybe Retina display might be for 4K video editing, just a guess. Maybe it'd be another custom build option that you could possibly have, says Ian in the chat room. Could you do gestures with your nose, says Nerd Rush.
Actually, I like that idea for like training your dog to operate your iMac. Because if you just like rub bacon on the things that you need him to tap, like while you're away to keep the server up and running to make sure that your VNC client is up, if you just like rub bacon on the places that he needs to tap in order to get to restart things, you could probably get that going.
You don't need a dog for that, mate. You rub bacon on a screen, Missy will come and do it for you.
How much does Missy charge?
I should do it for free for bacon, mate.
All right.
Yeah, bacon. This is the woman that went and tried a bacon frappuccino or something down at a local Starbucks. It just sounds like Pukeville to start with. Have you seen the 9-to-5 Max mock-up of the new iPhone as it is going to look? This is it. Apparently, the Wall Street Journal is saying the next iPhone is going to feature a 4-inch screen. We've had the 4, 5, 7-inch debate, but this thing here looks like a bloated... someone's got a bad piece of Photoshop here and expanded it, and they haven't even... They've gone to 5 icons across, but...
That's the old fat Nano.
It is. It's close to a classic, isn't it? But with a bigger screen. Do you really want... I don't want to have a debate about what we know and what we don't know, but does the iPhone need... to go to 4-inch screen? Is it a key business move for Apple that they've got to make?
I don't know if they have to make it, but on the Android side of things, and every other phone manufacturer is making phones with 4-inch screens, and I don't think that they would be doing that unless the consumers have given an option between something that's a little bit more compact and a little bit larger and easier to read, that they weren't choosing 4-inch screens. I think that's the only reason why Apple would ever go to that size. I think that it would be... I've been seeing a lot of rumors that instead of just simply scaling up the iPhone just a little tiny bit to get the larger screen, that they would actually keep the same size, keep the same shape, keep the same form factor, and make it the screen actually taller so you get a 4-inch diagonal, like widescreen sort of. And to me, that just sounds absolutely ridiculous because you'd have to have a whole new screen resolution for developers to deal with, unless you're going to say that existing iPhone apps exist in a window of that, and then you're going to use that other dimension for other things. But even so, that would be just you dislike ever having to imagine that Apple does something not because it's the right decision, not because it's a good decision, but because they said, no, we said we don't want to make a 4-inch phone. We're not making a 4-inch phone. Our phone is perfect the way it is. If we have to just like make make a candy bar sized iPhone just to say that we need to make the screen only as big as what we have right now. That's what we're going to do. Yeah.
That was close to Steve Jobs. You were better than Noah Wiley there, mate.
Actually, I didn't say boom at the end of it, but that would have been close.
Just to update you, it's Facebook launch day today. Facebook shares started trading at $38 this morning. They're now at $42, so it's not exactly an eruption, is it? But never mind. Up $4.24, and they've gone up another point while we were just talking there. So,
Did you hear the news about Bono?
No.
Apparently, two or three years ago, he bought like 2.2% of the company for something like $60 to $90 million. So his shares are now worth $1.5 billion, making him the wealthiest musician in the world, even more wealthy than Paul McCartney.
Which is between 9 o'clock and 9:01 this morning.
Exactly.
Until that, he got no money at all. Good.
Hello.
Hello.
Hey, Culligan, man.
DHM, put the frigging mic on mute.
He's a geek. He knows.
He can fix your Mac, but he can't bloody run him. Jesus. We got a competition for you.
There's this little mute switch on your phone. You can.
Oh. Yeah, except that it's his landline, dude. Even I knew that. Call yourself a tech writer, Jesus. We've got a competition for you. We're giving away a copy of Camtasia and a copy of Snagit. You can use it on Mac or Windows. It's your choice entirely. But we're going to run a competition, a caption competition. This week, old Tim Cook met with... is his name really Boner?
What?
This guy that's the Speaker of the House, his name's Boner. I'm not pronouncing that wrong.
Yeah.
So Tim met with a boner to discuss who knows what. We have no idea what they were discussing, but they were talking, they think, about the importation of Apple's money because of the $110 billion they've got in the bank, $75 billion overseas, and he was looking at a preferential rate for tax for bringing it back in. But that's too boring. What I want you to do is to take a copy of that image. You'll find it everywhere on Engadget and those kind of places, and I want you to Photoshop it with two bubbles, one for Boner, and one for... It's Boner that didn't win in the Facebook, not Bono. No, okay. And I want you to put... a caption. Give me a caption for this image. Send it in to britishtechnetwork@gmail.com or britishtechnews@gmail.com. And whichever's the funniest, we'll show next week with the bubbles shown, even if they're thought bubbles, not speech bubbles. And we'll give away two copies, one of Camtasia and one of Snagit. There you go. That's the competition. Get started. That'd be cool. Right. Last story then. 4G has been pulled in most other countries apart from the US. The iPad claims for 4G have been taken down because, of course, iPad doesn't work with 4G in a lot of other countries. It only works in the States. Is this a bit of a cock-up?
It's not entirely true, and Apple made this case. Some of the advanced HSPA Plus services the ITU said could be called 4G. And it does work with that, where it's available.
Where it's available.
Mm-hmm.
But isn't it completely the wrong frequency in a lot of the countries?
Yeah.
There's no element of that works in the UK from what I understand, but I'm wrong.
Yeah, it's a standard. The basis of the they've had some problems with some countries saying this is being advertised. The product name is they keep saying it's 4G. It is technically it does have that radio chipset no matter where you buy it in the world. However, the fact that a consumer can buy this expecting 4G speeds and not get them means it's not something you could really advertise. And so for that reason, Apple's saying, well, okay, we can either fight this in court or we can basically change the cellular industry, or we can simply say, yeah, how about we call it cellular? We'll call it cordless. It's the cordless Wi-Fi.
Mm-hmm. Okay, that's that
Wi-Fi
story,
Plus.
Wi-Fi Plus. That'll do. Never mind. Facebook stocks, they've dropped since we talked about them. They've gone down $2, mate. They're down. They're only at $40.22. So there's a bit of a fluctuation here. It could be back below asking price before the end.
That's because Zuckerman sold all his shares now.
No, it's because they found out that Bono is a billionaire. That's why they're pissed off. Thanks to Andy.
Did you guys hear about this?
Since Joshua Tree, man.
Yeah, exactly. You don't deserve it.
This Facebook co-founder who had come to the States and gotten U.S. citizenship, and now he's trying to renounce it so he doesn't have to pay capital gains tax on his IPO shares.
Oh, man.
Well, he had been living overseas for quite a while beforehand, though.
What's he going back to being? What was he before?
Good question. Good question.
Probably something like a... Well, I can't say the word.
Yes, he's
actually, I was reading about the legal ramifications of this, by the way. There is actually a U.S. Customs Immigration Law that says that if you renounce your United States citizenship for the purposes of avoiding tax, the border has the right to refuse you re-entry into the country. And that while this is normally not enforced, that customs might decide to say, you know what, enjoy your hundreds of millions of dollars. We don't want you, but you can't see a Mets game anymore. You're done.
Yeah,
here.
Yeah, I could probably cope with that.
Yeah,
given the billions that I'm going to earn, I could do without seeing the Mets.
I don't know if you've never had a good egg cream in Brooklyn. Yeah.
Chat rooms, we've got some badum tissues here. Don't you think that Bono is a bit too close to the edge?
Oh,
I'm here all week.
Can you be too close to a boner? I mean, come on.
Well, you can do if you're Tim Cook. There we go. This podcast and all of the others is brought to you by UK2.net. And I haven't uploaded the bloody logo. What a useless arse I am. If you want to support this... Yes, that's fine. I'll take it. A lot of people send me an email that start with that each week. If you want to support this network, then please support uk2.net. They're a great company. I mean, you may have your domains listed with other people. Things like 1&1, who are an atrocious company, and who I've reported to Trading Standards this morning. But UK2 are great. They Word really are great. One. Sorry?
Word on that one.
Word, yeah. 1&1 are crap. UK2 are brilliant. They support us, which is great, but they're also a good customer service business as well. You raise a ticket gets answered. You got a problem, they fix it. If you would like to support us, then please use the click through on our website. There's a little tiny logo there, UK2's logo. Click on that. There's a tracking link on it that takes you through to their website. When you buy whatever it is that you want, the prices are pretty good to start with, but don't forget, because you're a listener to this network, you get a whole pile of reductions. If you buy a domain name, you type in British Tech, and then you just add the word domain. Domain will get you 20% off the price that's there, which is, no one does 20% as far as I'm aware. You type in British Tech and then add DNS. DNS will get you the first 2 years of DNS management free of charge. You type in VPS, VPN, any of those kind of links, and you will get enormous reductions on the things that you're buying. We'll have a list up. Don't put those links in until you've used the click through from our website, because we don't get credit for it. Because if people post it on a forum or something, people are getting reductions using our codes and they haven't come from us. So please, if you want to support the network, go to our homepage first, britishtechnetwork.com, and then click through on that that logo, and then we get all the benefit. And we don't get any money. We just get the kudos for doing it. So please, please, please support UK2 because they support us. They absorbed 14 terabytes of data last month for us in shows that we pushed out. So we're very, very grateful. Thank you.
Terabytes, right. And terabytes of cock-ups.
Sorry? What are you saying? Are you slagging this network off, Forsman?
Or are you describing a folder that you don't let your wife access?
Yeah. Oops. If you're describing this network, Forsman, there's a long queue. Get to the back. Right. Have we got any cool thingies? Gazmaz.
I've got a quick one. Can I go first? Because I've got to go. Yes.
Okay, mate. Go ahead. Your first cool thing. You never start, so that's fair.
Okay, first thing. Yes. Normally it's apps and things, but eBuyer, British like eBuyer thing, they seem to have a really good deal. I think it's just for the weekend that allows you to snaffle 120 gigabyte SanDisk SSD for only £65 with free delivery.
Wow, that is good.
And it's so I bought one.
It's not a Kingston, because Kingston are crap.
So I thought, I've always fancied this, but it's always, whilst it's been hovering over the 120, 130, I wasn't going to go for it. But so I saw that £65, 120 gig, thought I can live with that. That's my pick.
That'll do. Excellent pick, mate. Thank you very much.
And I'm sorry to bail out, but I've got to go and pick some stuff up that I need.
That's
to get
fine.
Done,
so. I anticipated this, and I have a mask that you're not on. The only problem is
already.
Take care, Skate. Thanks for coming along. See you soon.
Cheers.
Cheers, bye. Gaz, do you want to start us off, mate?
Yeah. This tip kind of goes, it's again OS-wide, really. I don't know whether any of you use emoticons or emoicons, whatever you call them.
Mm-hmm.
If you're typing away, let's say, in Twitter or anywhere, really, that you can get to your edit menu and you can see your special characters. This is particularly on Lion. I'm not sure whether it still occurs in Leopard and Snow Leopard. Snowy, as I like to call her. You click on edit, you see your special characters, click on special characters, and then down in the left-hand side, you should see lots of other options, but near the bottom, you'll probably see emoji. When you click on that, you can find all your emojicons. And you can then obviously double click on it or copy and paste and just pop it into whatever document that you're actually working on at the moment. And a lot of people use them in Twitter especially. So if you've got fed up of seeing all these icons appearing and you want to repost, then that's the easy way to do it if you're on your Mac. Now, of course, if you don't know how to get to it on your iOS device, the best way to go is into General. Then go down to go into Settings, then into General. You scroll then down to Settings. Well, let's get this right. Settings, General, scroll down to Keyboard, International, and then you can choose the keyboard there. And then when you're actually typing in Twitter or wherever it is, you'll see that there's a world icon on your keyboard. Click on that and it comes up with the different keyboards that you've entered. So that's a nice quick one. And one more quickly, if I can, Ewan, for the Mac. And this is again, Lion orientated, but it's QuickTime. I think QuickTime's very underrated, you know, really underrated. Superb app. Now, if you want to extract audio from a video that you've got, let's say you've recorded your kids and it was at the school play or the school whatever it was concert, and you wanted to extract the audio, wink wink, nudge nudge, say no more. Basically, if you import that video or open that video in QuickTime, you basically go up to edit, you go to File, Export, and then there's a drop down on the format. So you click on the format. There's an audio option only. You click the audio option only and you can just extract the audio from that movie. And of course, if you want to edit a little bit, then there is a trim option when you're in
QuickTime. I was just about to say, the trim option in QuickTime is vastly underrated and I use it a lot.
I agree. And you can also merge. You can trim, so you could trim a part of the video, save it as a slightly different one, trim another part, and then merge them as well, and then, do the same thing. So QuickTime, I think, is really underrated.
Brilliant. Great tips, mate. Thank you, as always.
No problem.
Thank you for the video last couple of weeks. We'll get another one up this week, hopefully.
Yep.
Andy, what have you got for us, sir?
Pick or a tip?
Well, you can do pick or tip. It's your choice. Whatever's okay. Cool.
I will do one of those tips that everybody thinks that everybody's known for ages, except for the people who don't know that Safari can do this. And so for that reason, I'll mention this, in Safari, there is an activity window. If you go under the window menu, you'll see something for activity, which shows you essentially everything that the browser is downloading, everything that the browser is transacting. So if you've ever been in a situation where I don't know. I'll just talk about a friend of mine who once saw a documentary that was broadcast on a national taxpayer-supported TV network, broadcast TV network. Really liked that show. Realized that it was also streaming on this national website, and wanted to have a copy for the old iPad. What you can do is you can actually go to the streaming site. And then start the video playing. It'll be just streaming. Now, obviously, you can't normally just like right click and save it to your hard drive. But if you go into the activity window, you will see that every single website that Safari is transacting with has its own little outline level line in it. You simply click on the little line for that site that you're accessing. Look at all the dozens and dozens and dozens of files that it is downloading or has downloaded. You will find a .mp4 file or a .flv file that's really, really big and downloading and getting much, much, much bigger. What you have done is you've discovered the actual URL of that file on that remote server. So if you simply click on it to highlight it, copy the URL, paste it into a new browser window, you can just simply download it directly and save it to your hard drive.
Very good.
It's also really good if you've, for instance, Pixar has a whole bunch of media, one of those really cool like HTML5 based like interactive things to promote their upcoming movie Brave. And the backgrounds for these things, it's just the background for all these buttons and like scrolling things. But the backgrounds are really, really beautiful and they're totally clean. They make really great desktops. So if you, but you can't, they've done something with the HTML5, so you can't simply, again, right click and save it. But if you go to activity, look for everything that's been transacted from Pixar, and you'll find, oh, look, there's a really, really, really big PNG file. I bet it's probably my best interest to then click that and download it and say, yep, there it is. It's now a standard PNG file that I can then download. As I said, most there's probably 50% of the people listening say, oh, for God's sakes, it's not a trick. I knew that all along. I knew that before it was cool. But there are people who did not know that you could actually save things out of the system cache into your hard drive. And for those people, they're like, yeah, I knew that. What was that? What was that menu again?
Very good, mate. Very good tip. What about the YouTube download thing? Because that's disappeared, hasn't it, from activity?
I haven't done that for YouTube in a while. It used to work just fine. Well, you can also if anything that doesn't work for some reason in Safari, the Opera browser has an even better tool like that. Where you're familiar that most browsers you can type in the address field about:cache, and that will show you everything that's in the cache. With the Opera browser, it even goes better than that. It will actually launch this little nice little like a web based app that will say, okay, what are you looking for? And you can say, well, Opera, I'm looking for any video type file that is larger than, say, 50 megabytes.
Nudge, wink, wink.
Exactly. And then instead of having to go scroll through a million things, we'll show you, okay, here are three things that are in the cache right now that you've recently accessed that are have that description. Here are thumbnails of them just so that you don't accidentally download the decongestant commercials. You actually download the documentary that you wanted. And it works a treat.
Yeah, it's good. Opera's a very good browser now. Yeah. Very, very good. Do like it. Excellent. Just to let you know, Facebook is now trading at only 74 cents greater, 51 cents greater than it was when it was released. It's peaked at $45 today, and it's now nearly back at its original price.
And now you've paid for Zoo TV. You know what? Oh, we don't dear. Like self-indulgence. The big, flashy stage shows do not make up for the loss of your youthful rebellion and youthful anger, Bono.
Not good.
Oh, it's you have such beautiful eyes, Bono. Why do you hide them behind sunglasses, especially silly looking the fly style sunglasses all the time?
27 cents. Oh, 17 cents now. Oh, it's even worse. God, blimey. Right, Mr. Forsman, what do you have for us?
I want to talk about a text editor called IA Writer. And the great thing about this is it's been around on iOS for a while, and they've got an iPhone and an iPad version, and it's really good. And one of the things I like about it is it edits straight text, and you can also use Markdown formatting. So, you know, as we all well know, I'm an award-winning online tech journalist, and I awarded myself that award. But I have to put in things like headers and emphasis tags and all kinds of stuff, and it makes it really easy to do in a plain text editor. Uses Markdown, which kind of uses some common plain text conventions that are then can be converted. And the CMS we use at Ars Technica has a special filter, so we can put in Markdown text, and it just inserts all the correct HTML tags automatically. And what's really great is they have also a Mac version you get from the Mac App Store, and they recently introduced iCloud syncing. So I can write files on my computer. I can start them here. If I have to run and go to an errand, you know, I just spend a lot of time on like the trains here. So I can just hop on the train with my iPad or my iPhone and actually continue writing right where I left off. And then when I get back home, you know, all the changes will be synced back, and I'll have it right there on my Mac. I can put it into, you know, our CMS and get the story published.
Your dogs hate it. Tapped your keyboard to create an electrified collar on their neck to stop them barking or something. You started typing, they stopped barking, man. You're Dr. Evil.
The mailman just dropped off a package.
Oh, okay.
If you know what I mean.
No, he's gone on mute. Let's go to Andy. Andy, what have you got for us, mate?
I've got an interesting bit of hardware that I've just discovered. Recently at Elmug, we needed to get a new projector because we wanted to hook up an Apple TV to our projector, and they're only HDMI, and neither of our projectors were HDMI. And I go to lots of events, giving talks and things, and if you're ever giving a talk anywhere, you're always going to be hooking up to a VGA projector. It's very rarely a HDMI projector.
Yeah.
I found a cheap piece of kit, basically 50-odd quid, a little box about a third the size of an Apple TV. You plug your Apple TV into it, and that converts the signal from HDMI to VGA. And you plug that into your projector, and then you can use AirPlay from your iPad or whatever to chuck your projector, your presentation onto the screen and wander around with your iPad while you're giving your talk. It's called, I'll chuck the link in the chat room. It's called, what's the exact name of it? Where is it? It's called the Kanex ATV Pro. K-A-N-E-X ATV Pro. It's about 50-odd quid. Cancom have got them at the moment. Well, formerly Cancom. They're now called Transcom because they got bought a couple of months ago. But it's a cool little bit of kit.
Pretty good.
Seems to do exactly what I need to do for that sort of thing.
Price is decent as well.
Andy, can I just ask, do you also take around an Airport Express or an Airport Extreme so you can obviously then stream to the Apple TV from your iPad anywhere?
Usually I would have an Airport Express in my bag, yeah.
Right, yeah. Just in case anybody's wondering how you stream to the Apple TV.
Yeah.
Chat room saying, and the award for and the Chris Forsman Award for Tech Journalism goes to... And Teresa said, we should do British Tech Awards, and I couldn't agree more. We need British Tech Awards. That would be really good, if inappropriate. Chris, do you want to finish yours off, mate? I think you're still on mute.
How's that? Better?
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
Have you got anything to add to yours?
No, just it's I think it's half off right now for the Mac version.
We like that.
And it's just it's under $10, and it's just super convenient, and it's got a character count and all kinds of things like to help, you know, just put it in it. It's like a really simple interface, so you can just focus on writing and get your and you know, it's something I had to do all day long, so it's great to just be able to get in there and get it done.
Excellent, thank you. I'm very.
I wanted just to second or third that idea for the British Tech Awards. That's a brilliant idea.
We'll do that. Voted for by listeners. We'll have a listeners award as well.
Absolutely.
Nothing sensible, please. I'm very proud today to announce that the British Tech Network has its very first application in the App Store. It's all ours. Produced for us by Andy Vaughan of Figster.net. So if you've not used Geek Badge, you need to use Geek Badge, because Geek Badge is something you can flash out when you go for Geek Squad support or something like that and say, look, see, don't talk to me like I know nothing. I got 4.2 on Geek Squad, on Geek Badge. But Andy's written an application for us. It's an absolute stunner. And it's available in the App Store. It's true. It's in the iTunes Store there. You can get it. And it's the Green Counter. Here it is. Nice little picture of Will Green on it. And basically, if you do a podcast and you've got a guest on there who's prone to slipping the odd F-bomb or something like that, then the Green Counter will help you. Basically, you've got a timer at the start here, and you press on the timer and it starts a little clock running. Just see it going there. And if your guest swears whilst you're doing your podcast, you just punch him in the face. And every time he does it, there's a little sound plays, and a little red X comes across his mouth. There you go.
And I want that one.
You finish your that sounds like the Scooby Doo, doesn't it? You stop your timer, but then if you go to the little information button in the bottom left hand corner, it gives you the time codes of all the times when they drop the F bomb. How useful's that?
The problem is, I think people will be using it when people don't use the F-bomb.
Yeah, you can do it with anything you like. I've actually got a firm that I do work for that make conveyors, and they have a problem with timing packets. And I spoke to the guy today and said, I've got just the application for you. He's like, that is magic. Because basically, he can hit that thing, and every time a packet goes through a light sensor, he can log when the time it goes through, and it's there you go. So there you go. It's called Green Counter in the Mac App Store, and it's free. You're not going to charge a penny.
I just want to get it so I can hit Will's face.
Well, the default mode, because we couldn't get it through the chat, we couldn't get it through the review process from Apple with Greeny's picture in it. We had to put a red X on it. But you go into settings on your general settings, and you have to enable green mode to get the picture of Will Green up. But every time you hit Will's face, there's a little red X comes across the front of his face as well. There you go. Green Counter. Will was supposed to be on this week, but he's had to bail out because he's got work in Bristol, but I couldn't hold on to it. It's been available for 3 weeks now. So there, it's Green Counter in the iTunes store, and it's a British tech network, and it's Andy Vaughan from Figster. So please give him some support and say thank you as well. Cheers. Right. Where can we get a hold of you, everyone? Gaz.
Ever so easy, gazmaz.com. Lots of links to Twitter and all the other podcasts that I kind of cuckoo in on.
Thank you, mate. Mr. Natko, I'm sure we can get you a few more followers.
I could always use some more followers, because that's, I translate followers into love.
Yeah.
A love that's so deeply missing from my life. I shouldn't say that out loud. But still. If you can spell my last name, go to anatko.com. That has my blog and links to my email and my Flickr and my Twitter and all kinds of other things. If you can't spell my last name, go to cwob.com, short for Celestial Waste of Bandwidth, and that'll take you right back to that same place that you can't spell.
I remember when it was just a colossal waste of bandwidth.
I realized that I was wasting my time and that of others, but really, couldn't I waste more time of myself and others? And you absolutely know, it's like Tyler Perry says, you got to have a dream a little bit bigger than the earth in your shoes, you know.
Now I just want to add, Andy, that now I've released that application, I do expect a full review on your back page of Macworld next next month. Do you need a code to get a copy?
Let him buy it. I've just bought it.
I will favor it with an evaluation. Although you see, you realize that like the only way for me to test it is the next time I'm on the show, I'm just going to have to be like a Red Fox record, just from start to finish. curse.
That's the only thing I've thought about, actually, is that now that I've got this application, people are going to come on and they're just going to start dropping all kinds of words in there. Yeah. It's in the iTunes store, not the Mac App Store chat room. iTunes store. Thank you. Chris, where can we get you, pal?
You can get me on rstechnica.com. And you can also converse with me on the Twitters at ForzMac.
Excellent. Thank you, sir. And Mr. Lee?
You can get me through the London Mac User Group at lmug.org.uk. Or you can get me on the Twitters at Longball.
Ian in the chat room wants to know, if you smack Will Green in the real Will Green in the face, does he make those sounds as well?
Probably.
We'll have to find out. Next time he's pissing at the tontine, mate, we'll have a go. Thank you very much for joining us. We'll be back again next week with more Mac news, if there is any. If not, who knows what we're going to talk about. It could be more smacking Will Green in the face. Who knows? We'll get him here, though. Hopefully he's coming next week, so he'll have downloaded his app by then, with a bit of luck. And I can put it to some good use. Thanks for listening. See you next week.